Welcome to the Community Christian Church Montgomery podcast. The following message was recorded live on Sunday, October 13th. This week we hear from Community Pastor Mitchell Shiver as we continue our series called This Changes Everything.
Well, I recently stumbled across a show on Netflix called Nailed It. How many of you have heard of it or seen it? A handful of you. Well, this show, now, it's a cooking show, which I should give you a disclaimer. Maybe it's not a surprise. I don't cook very often or even very well, although I would say I'm getting better. Thank you. Head nod. She has to do that. But this show nailed it. The premise was people were posting their pictures of their creations on Pinterest, and the show kind of took that idea. And the premise is they have a professional baker create something, and then they have an amateur, newsflash, that's you and me, amateur baker kind of do the same thing and try to match the professional's creation. Now, I'm pretty sure some of you can tell how this is going to go. So, for example, here is a professional baker's version of a unicorn cake. I mean, that's a nice unicorn cake if you're into that sort of thing. But here is the amateur's creation of the same thing. That's unicorn soup, if you didn't know. And I think you could definitely say that they nailed it. Okay, there's a participatory thing here. Let's do the second one. Second one, nice, you know, smiley face, kissy face emoji, and here is the amateur's version. In their defense, if that was a three-year-old's creation, we would say that was great, but you could say that they definitely nailed it. You guys are very good, picking up very quick. One last one, Jack-in-the-Box cake, the professionals created, and here is the winning cake. I think that they won because it's not just a puddle of nothingness. And I think you could definitely say it with me, that they nailed it. Now, these bakers, you know, the thing is, these bakers have the best of intentions, but not always coming up with the desired results. Now, I think the same is true of you and me. We can always have the best of intentions and not always have the desired results. We can have the best of intentions when it comes to exercising and working out and getting ourselves in shape. We can have the best of intentions when it comes to changing our diet. We can have the best of intentions when it comes to finishing that do-it-yourself at home project, which for me means start to do it yourself, then make a phone call. And we can always have that best of intentions, but you know as well as I do that oftentimes what we desire to see happen, the end result that we want to see is not always what happens. We have the best of intentions and not always the desired results. And I think the same is true of our journey as apprentices of Jesus, that we can have the best of intentions. But I heard Andy Stanley say one time, you know, the direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction, not intention, determines destination. And Dallas Willard says it this way, and he says, the general human failing is to want what is right and important, but at the same time, not to commit to the kind of life that will produce the action we know to be right and the condition we want to enjoy. This is the feature of human character that explains why the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We intend what is right, but we avoid the life that would make it a reality. Now that makes sense. And just think about that for a moment. If I want to become a baker, then it only makes sense that I need to practice baking. If I want to become a runner, I need to actually get out there and what? And run. If I want to be a musician, like the arts team, I need to actually practice being a musician. And the same is true when it comes to being an apprentice of Jesus. That if I want to be an apprentice of Jesus, then I have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. Simply put, if I want to follow Jesus, I have to learn to live like Jesus. We're in the last series, as Josh mentioned, of This Changes Everything, where this series has been all about the good news that Jesus brings. And that good news, he says it right off the bat in Mark chapter 1, that the time has come, Jesus says. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And the good news of Jesus is that there is this life, this eternal kind of life that is available to you and me, not once we die, but right here and right now. A life filled with love and purpose and meaning, Jesus says, is available. And when Jesus says the kingdom of God is near, he's saying that heaven has now come to earth. That things are changing, that everything is changing with Jesus bringing this kind of life to right here and right now. And then a couple verses later, he gives an invitation with three simple words that will change your life. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. And that's an invitation that Jesus gives, not just to believe some things about him, not just to learn some things about him and then go on our way, but to actually be active in practicing and following Jesus. That it becomes who we are, that it consumes our entire life. That's the invitation to come and follow me. A couple weeks ago we said, well, apprenticeship starts by being with Jesus. And that's this realization that there is this continual presence of the Holy Spirit each and every moment of every day. And last week, if you were with us, we said apprentices also learn to love like Jesus and live in community with other apprentices, with other Christ followers. And even Jesus said, this is the defining mark of my followers, that they would love one another as I have loved them. And today we're talking about apprentices of Jesus learn to live like Jesus. Simply put, they learn to do what Jesus did. Now, Jesus himself said this. Jesus himself gave this invitation and not only said that, but in John chapter 14, he says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. See, following Jesus is much more than believing some things about him or learning some things about him. It is giving our whole life to following him. And then Jesus says, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And so I think the invitation of Jesus is to do the things that Jesus did. Now, we get the things about, you know, when Jesus talks about loving the down and outers and not just the up and comers, we learn to love the down and outers. Now, when we see Jesus serving the least of these, we get that. That makes sense to us. And we humbly serve the people that Jesus is calling us to serve. And that's easy to understand, but it's not always easy to do. It's one thing, as we know, to talk the talk, and then it's another to walk the walk. But here's the good news. Jesus didn't just give this invitation to come and follow him and then say, okay, guys, good luck. I'm sending you out. Good luck. You're on your own. There was this step-by-step in the context of relationship in which Jesus led his first apprentices, his first followers, to see what living like Jesus looks like. And he did that with other people. And that's what apprenticeship is all about. Apprenticeship is all about helping someone take their next steps in the context of relationship so that their life looks more and more like Jesus's. And Jesus was incredible at this. Matthew chapter 4, his disciples were invited to follow him, and they watched Jesus teach and heal, and he began to take them around and invite them to come along, and they saw him, and this is the first step of apprenticeship. I do, you watch. Jesus did, and the disciples watched. And then he took it to the next step. The next step, he said, okay, it's not enough for you to watch. I want you to be getting in the game and getting off the sidelines and participating and being active in this mission. And he invited them to help in the mission. So Matthew gathers a bunch of his friends, hosts a dinner party in which Jesus is present. And so Matthew participates in the second step of apprenticeship, which is I do and you help. See, Jesus teaches and heals, but Matthew gets involved by gathering people in his home. Then Jesus takes it to the third step, and he sends out his apprentices, and he says, hey, I want you to tell people that the kingdom of heaven is near. That's the message I want you to take to the people, that the kingdom of heaven is near. And Jesus coaches them and equips them, and he says, I'm not sending you out all by yourself. I'm sending you out empowered to carry this out. And that is the third step. You do, I help. And the first step, Jesus finally just sort of, we can think of it as him handing off the baton to his apprentices, entrusting them with the mission, saying, okay, now you've seen me teach and heal. You've been invited to come alongside me and participate and be active. And now you're empowered. And now I'm releasing you. I'm handing the baton off to you to carry this mission out. That's the fourth step of apprenticeship. You do, I watch. So here's the steps of apprenticeship. I do, you watch. I do, you help. You do, I help. And you do, I watch. That's how Jesus apprenticed his first followers. And here's the really powerful part. When Jesus released his apprentices to carry out the mission, when he handed off that baton to them, God did some incredible things. There are some amazing things that we witnessed. We witnessed thousands of people finding their way back to God, becoming Christ followers. We see some incredible things that God does through those first apprentices, like breakthrough happening in people's lives, spiritual, emotional, relational, physical breakthrough, where God just breaks into their lives and does incredible things. We see some incredible things happening as his first apprentices take the message and love of Jesus to a watching and waiting world. And the mission of Jesus just explodes onto the scene. But listen, all of this happens because a small group of ordinary people, just like you and just like me, said yes to the invitation to follow him. Yes to the invitation to follow him. Apprentices learn to do what Jesus did. I want to remind you of Jesus' own words. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. They will do even greater things. That's not a misprint. Jesus says, they will do even greater things. And we understand the part when it comes to loving and serving people. We get that. It's easy to understand, maybe harder to do. But then Jesus takes it a step further and says, no, you're not going to just do these things. You're going to do even greater things. And I think this is the point in which many of us miss, in which many of us sort of stay behind and say, Jesus, you go on ahead. You're going to the greater things, and I'm just going to hang back because I'm not sure that that's even possible. I mean, Jesus, you sound just very enthusiastic. I mean, you're like the super positive guy. I mean, you're just kind of trying to rally the troops, right, Jesus? I mean, you will do even greater things. I mean, that sounds great, Jesus. Very motivational, but not very practical. Because I'm not seeing it. And if I'm honest with you, maybe this is where Jesus loses me too sometimes. It's sort of like if Michael Jordan walks into the room and says, hey, you are going to play basketball like me. And not only are you going to play, that's not funny. I could do a layup still. Sprain my ankle, but still. I can't dunk. That's over with. Michael Jordan walks in the room and says, you're not only are you going to play basketball like me, you're going to play basketball better than me. Oh, Listen, I know you're trying to encourage us. You're trying to build us up. Very motivating, but let's get real here. This is what it feels like when Jesus says, you're going to do greater things, because Jesus did some off-the-map incredible stuff, right? We see him casting out demons, healing the sick. We see him ultimately raising people from the dead. These are the kind of things that I think some of us believe that Jesus is calling us to do, but we don't see it. And if we don't see it, if we don't picture it, then we don't believe it's possible. But I'm here this morning to ask you, do you believe that you can do the impossible? Or are we just going to settle for some version of following Jesus that is far less than what he invites us to? John Ortberg says it this way. He says, there are things we think we believe until we get to the edge of the cliff and that belief is tested. Then there is our mental map about how things are. This is what we actually believe. Belief is best understood as the readiness to act as if what I believe is really true. What I do, my works, reveals what it is I really believe, my mental map about how things are. So he says, our mental map is what we really believe about how things are, as evidenced by what we do. And so many of us, I think, read stories about Jesus and his first apprentices that are incredible, and we say, wow, that's really awesome, but that seems like it's sort of history, or maybe that's just the highlight reel of the early church, you know, the best of. Jesus and his band of apprentices' greatest hits, volume one, you know, it's just kind of relegated to a time and place, and it makes me feel good, it maybe even motivates me. But when you start talking about me picturing my life being a part of the impossible, then I'm just out. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I believe that the impossible is possible. I believe that God wants to do things in our life, in and through us, that we never dreamed or never imagined. You say, well, how? How is this possible? It's possible through the power of his Spirit. It's only possible through the power of his Spirit. Listen to what Jesus himself says. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus says, you know, we don't have to settle for this sort of life of faith that just makes sense all the time. Our life of following Jesus should not always make sense to us. It should not always work on paper. It shouldn't always just sort of fit nicely together. But there is an element to our life of following Jesus in which God wants to do the impossible through the power of his Spirit working in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty powerful thing. Last time I checked, dead people aren't always just getting up. But that's what Jesus says the Spirit inside of us wants to do. That the Holy Spirit wants to make the impossible possible. As apprentices of Jesus, the Spirit is always prompting us to take our next steps of faith, whatever that looks like. You want to know why I know God wants to make the impossible possible? Because I've seen it in some of your lives. I think some of you would say, wow, the fact that I'm even here, sitting in church, I never imagined that I would just be sitting in church. But here you are, I would say, empowered by the Spirit. Some of you are here sitting here thinking, you know, you never thought or dreamed that you would join a ministry team or serve in some way. But here you are, empowered by the Spirit. Some of you never, ever, ever thought that you would be able to give back to God in a generous way and begin to trust Him with your finances because you didn't see how it made sense on paper, but here you are, empowered by the Spirit. Some of you never, ever imagined yourself connecting with your neighbors, looking for ways to bless your neighbors, inviting your neighbors to come with you to be here, seeing your neighbors or friends or coworkers come with you and then take steps in their faith and be baptized and grow. You never imagined that would be possible. But here you are, empowered by the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I do not want to settle for a life of apprenticing with Jesus that is routine and predictable and mundane, and far less than what Jesus invites me to. And I would be willing to bet that you would say the same. See, apprentices with Jesus are continually open and available to what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. What the Spirit wants to do. Apprentices of Jesus are continually saying, God, whatever you want to do, I'm yours. And so I have a couple of challenges this morning. The first is to just apprentice with Jesus, to become an apprentice of Jesus. And we defined it the first week. You remember, the apprentice of Jesus is someone whose ultimate goal in life is to live their life the way that Jesus would live if he were me. And so the invitation is to become an apprentice of Jesus. Listen, if you get anything out of this series, I want you to get this, that following Jesus is not saying yes to a set of beliefs. It is saying yes to become his follower, his apprentice. Many of you would, maybe some of you would have doubt about this whole faith thing. And you have questions and you have uncertainties about this whole faith thing. And I want you to know that that is okay. That your doubts can be a gateway to an authentic and powerful faith. Doubt and faith are not mutually exclusive. I think they actually work together. Guy in the New Testament said that to Jesus, Lord, help me, I do believe, but help me in my unbelief. Maybe you're here today, you're not sure about all this faith stuff, but I want to encourage you, I want to ask you, what if you decided to accept the invitation of Jesus to become his apprentice without knowing all the answers, without all the experience, without knowing the future? Maybe what if you just decided to say yes to following Jesus despite all that? Or maybe for others, maybe at some point you said yes to following Jesus, but maybe in this series or maybe this morning you've kind of come to this place where you are really wrestling with this question of, am I really following Jesus? And that's a good thing. There's been several times in my life, a handful of times, not many, but a handful of times, in which I've had to wrestle with that question, am I really following Jesus? Or am I settling for some version of Christianity that he never invited me to? It's a hard question. It's a necessary question. Actually, I hope that all of us wrestle with this question. Am I really following Jesus? Do I really Am I really living life in the kingdom of God in the here and now, the life that Jesus offers me? Or am I living some cheapened version of life that I sort of bring Jesus into the fold every once in a while? The life that Jesus offers us is a life that is available in the here and now, right here, right now, with all the power that it can hold. What if today you decided to say yes to Jesus? I know you got to go to the store. I know you've got practice or the kids' games or whatever you've got to do today. But don't leave this place with that invitation lingering. The second challenge is to take your next steps with Jesus. And whatever that looks like, to take your next steps with Jesus. We all have a next step with Jesus. You know why I know this to be true? Because the Holy Spirit is continually prompting us to respond. Always. And so whatever that looks like for you, maybe your next step is reaching out to that friend who's grieving and having coffee. Maybe that next step for you is growing in generosity and beginning to trust God for the very first time, even with your resources, with what he's given you. Maybe your next step is to commit to serving in some way. Maybe your next step is to meet a tangible need among your friends and family and coworkers. Maybe your next step is to finally say, you know what, I'm going to get off the sidelines. I'm going to come out of the stands and get into the game because there's got to be more to this than just the 60 minutes that we experience once a week. The Holy Spirit is continually leading us to step out beyond what we believe is possible and do the seemingly impossible through his power at work in us. I think that's what Paul is getting at in Galatians when he urges us and just urges us to keep in step with the Spirit. That phrase, keep in step with the Spirit, means to walk in line behind a leader. So if I'm going to take my next steps with Jesus, then I've got to put my preferences, my plan aside and let him take the lead and me follow him, not the other way around. Because many times we try to go first. We say, come on, Holy Spirit, come on. I'm going over here. Don't you see this? This is where I want to go with my life. Keep up. Paul says, no. Keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit is leading. The Spirit is out front. God is wanting to do incredible things in your life. He's calling us to follow behind. But we've got to put ourselves to the side. We're no longer the hero. Keep in step with the Spirit. Here's the last challenge. Apprentice someone else. There's actually a last step to the apprenticeship process we talked about. You do, someone else watches. You do, and someone else watches. There is something powerful that happens when we invite someone else to come alongside us in the journey. What God is doing in and through your life through the power of the Spirit is not meant to terminate with you, but it's meant to be extended out to someone else. That's where we say, come along, come alongside me. God is doing incredible things in my life. I want you to be a part of it. I want to pour my life into you. Many of you, I would say maybe all of you, are probably here this morning because someone at some point took the time to invest and invite you to be here and invested in your life. If I were to walk around the room and ask, who's the person who single-handedly invested more than anyone else? Who is that person for you? You could name names. And if that's true, then why would we not give that away? The tragedy is if we keep it all to ourselves. But Jesus says, no. Invite someone else to come along. Invest in someone else. Pour your life into someone else. I call it 3C 2.0. We're celebrating, connecting, contributing. When we get to that place, it's 3C 2.0. Guess what? It's time to give it away. It's not, we don't bottle it up, save it for ourselves, save it for a rainy day. We give it away. That's what apprentices do. They give themselves away. So here we are at the end of the series. I believe that this series would be one of the most important we've ever done. Because the invitation of Jesus to follow him is the most life-changing invitation we could ever receive. Maybe he's calling you today to take that next step, whether it's to follow him and say yes for the first time or take that next step, whatever it looks like. I want to encourage you to take that next step. He never asks us to take a next step and leave us to ourselves. Come follow me. The only question for us is, will we follow? Will you pray with me? Father, we ask that you would just move among us this morning, even as I'm speaking, God, that your spirit would move us and convict us. That we would stop chasing after a version of Christianity that you never intended. But that we would give our entire lives to following you and be open and available to what you want to do in us through the power of your spirit who lives in us. God, help us. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Service times are Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at communitychristian.org/Montgomery.